Welcome back to the second part of the Townships at 12 for today. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and in this part of the show today, I have an interview with Dennis Katsouris. Dennis is the Executive Director of Townshippers Association. Now, the interview is done by David Teasdale, but first we will hear a new song. It's by Lady Gaga, and the song is called Abracadabra. We will hear the interview right after the song, so please stay tuned. You're listening to The Cube, 88.9 FM, here in the Eastern Townships.
Teasdale for CJMQ 88.9 FM, and I'm delighted to have with me today Dennis Katsouris. You're the Executive Director of Townshippers Association.
I am, and it's coming close to a year now.
Very welcome here at CJMQ. Very glad to have you, and hope that you won't be a stranger and come back very often.
As often as you want me to.
All right. Today you want to talk about some information that you want to share with our listeners about the local M&As and some of the information that you want to share from them. Is that right?
Yeah, so back in the summer, starting around June, July, when I first came on board, we looked at all the programs and processes that we had in place at Townshipers Association. And one of the things that we noticed that was missing was an outreach program to all our political connections and to our political friends, especially at the provincial level. So all our MNAs, and there's approximately 6-7 of them that we work with on a regular basis these days. So we started out meeting with the MNA from Bromo-Sisquam, who's Isabel Chade, who's also Minister of Sport. And we've also continued on with our relationship with Genevieve Weber, who's here in Haut-Saint-François, as well as the Minister of Public Security, Minister Bondagal. So we reached out to all of them, and over the course between the summer and last January 17th, we've been discussing the opportunities to find different programs and projects to work on together in order to foster not only a better relationship with our with each individual, but also with the organization that is the Townshipers and what we do. And get them to understand that we're not an advocacy group in the sense that we're going out and yelling and screaming, but we're an advocacy group helping supporting the English community to integrate more formally into the community in general. We were very fortunate, and it's been a very long time since this has happened, that we actually sat at a caucus meeting of the MNAs of the Estuary back in January, on January 17th. And the message that we got to them was that we're here to work with each other. We're here to build a relationship with each other. Eventually, one day, at one point, we're not going to come to agreement with something, and we're going to end up in conflict. But the only way we're going to get over that is if we know who the other person is on the other side of the table. And that's building trust, and that's building confidence with each other. That's the real goal of this outreach that we're doing with the politicians. And we've been quite successful at it. At the meeting, we also invited the Eastern Township School Board that was represented by Candy McKay, and also Katie Lowry, who's the executive director at Phelps Helps. We wanted to make sure that we captured an encompassing message about what the English community is here in the townships. It's not just simply us saying who we are, but it's also what the school board is going through and those issues that are important to them. And with Phelps Helps as well, too, in terms of their specifics in the Stansted or the Mepham Magog MRC. So that's what we achieved last week. By extension, Bishop's University's principal, Sebastian Grenier-Labelle, was there as well, too, which also fostered even more relationships with each other. And we're working with bishops to develop more programs and services. And that's what we were talking to the MNAs about.
And so, what kind of response did you get?
It was a very warm response. At the end, there was a lot of handshakes. There was a lot of smiles. There was a lot of, yes, we will support you. Yes, we will be there for you. And it was genuine. It wasn't simply them ushering us out the door to make sure that, you know, okay, fine, we listen to them, goodbye. That wasn't it. There's real desire for everybody to work together. We all know what the problems are in the townships. And when we told them what our interpretation of those problems were at the townships, it was bang on to what they've been seeing on their side as well, too. Poverty, the out-migration of the youth, the shrinking of the entrepreneurial pool, both in real numbers in terms of people and in real numbers in terms of dollars. Those are huge issues that the townships are facing. And it's not an English problem. It's not a French problem. It's a problem of the region. And we all have to be working together to be able to develop and build programs and services that counter that and help foster a positive future for the region.
Now, comparatively speaking, Do you find that there that it's equal across French community and English community, or is there a disparity between the two communities when it comes to health, level of health, education, finance?
I came back from a conference, the Community Health and Social Services Network, this week, and I was talking. It was a meeting of all the different regions of Quebec talking about health and social services and how those health and social services are delivered in their regions. No region is the same. I want to say that right up in the beginning. We're a region with 43,000 people, so we're at an advantage. We're at an advantage because we have a very robust infrastructure of relationships and networking that we've been fostering for the past 45, 50 years. Other regions have not been able to do that. So we're in a very good position. Is it perfect? No, it's not. But the CIUS here recognizes that it's not perfect and that we need to work even harder. So there's an understanding that we have to increase that capacity to offer services in English to the community. That is inherent and understood not only by the politicians in the region, but by the institutions as well. And we have very good relationships with these organizations. And, you know, we're fostering programs or subsidizing programs to teach mentorship programs to Anglophones so they feel comfortable in speaking French in the healthcare system. We're now exploring the idea of doing the exact opposite of teaching Francophones to speak English with confidence in the healthcare system and in the social services system. And it's funny, that issue is actually coming not from healthcare, but from social services, because we're seeing organizations that are working with new immigrant populations, and they're... Because of the restrictions in terms of the Francisization programs, a lot of these new immigrants can't afford to purchase the Francisization courses, so they're in trouble in terms of social support, and their first language is not French, not English, but Spanish maybe, or Arabic, or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. and their second language is English. And it's a rudimentary knowledge. So we have social workers that are coming up to us needing, saying, I need a mentorship program. So my social workers who are actually working with these groups are better able to support them through a mentorship program. So they learn English a little bit better. So those are the types of things. And that's not coming from us. That's coming from the rest of the community. And that's where we have a role to play.
Yeah, it's a very big role, a very important role. Yeah. Certain things I remember... And in speaking about healthcare years back, the closing of Sherbrooke Hospital, there was at the time guarantees of signage in English, which were reneged upon. And so there's a bit of bad feelings there. Are we getting over that, or is that still an issue?
I think we're getting over it. But I'm not saying the soreness is not there. But that's the reason why we're sitting down and talking to our politicians and always constantly talking to our institutions to make sure that we pass on that message, that they understand that did not foster trust. And that's what we need to do as not only institutions, as politicians, as community workers like we are. You have to foster trust in order to move the needle forward. If you don't, the community doesn't follow you. It's as simple as that. It's... You know, when I was working at McGill, at one point I was involved in a large project from a funder to come and support the university, and the person that was in charge of the development program at McGill, I'll never forget what he said this to me. He says, "You know, people don't give money to institutions; people give money to people. You have to be a friend." So you know, David Teasdale is not going to give $10 to an institution, but he's going to give it to somebody who's working in that institution because he knows he can trust that person. That's the goal here. It's not a question of a monetary reward. It's a question of trust, and that's what we have to start building more and more of. We are very, very fortunate here in the townships. There's good relationships between between all the communities, and it is a sense of pride that we present this. Even the MNAs tell me this over and over again. They'll go to a caucus meeting or into a cabinet meeting up in Quebec City, and they expand on the virtues of that relationship and how we need to foster it more across the province and use the townships as an example of how that can work out in a positive way.
I think that's very, very true, because I've seen it myself so often that members of the French community reach out to the Anglophone community out of a sense of pride, as you said, yeah. of having that kind of atmosphere in the townships that is so open and welcoming. And they take pride in that. They really do.
Yeah.
So that's something that definitely needs to be capitalized upon and spoken about more than it is.
I agree. And I think we have to, I come from a business milieu, so I'm going to use this term. So
yeah.
We have to exploit it. And we have to achieve those common goals that we all understand are important for the region. And it's funny, when I'm out, you know, presenting my economic plan, and when I'm out presenting the health and social service plan, it's like, yeah, we need that. Yeah, we need that. Yeah, we need that. And there are very little differences in our approaches as well. So we're all working together closely, and we're going to continue doing that. And it's not a question of money. It's not a question of a power politic game or anything like that. It's a question of what's best for the community.
You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM. We're talking to Dennis Gasaros, the Executive Director of Townshippers Association. Is there something that's standing out at the moment that you would like to emphasize?
The one thing that I push for hard in all of these types of meetings is that I am... we need data to make decisions. My team is fantastic at doing it needs assessments, and we have a plan to put together 5 different needs assessments between in the MRCs in the region. But really, we need data, like hard evidentiary data that we can base decisions on in terms of where to pinpoint issues and problems and put finite resources there. So we have a program that we're calling the statistical portrait of the Eastern Townships of the English community. And it is based on an analysis not only of data, but also of qualitative nature. So in other words, going out and doing interviews with people in the various MRCs and getting a real clear, identifiable portrait of what's going on in the English community, not as a whole, but in its sectors of the MRC. So what's happening in Memphremagog, what's happening in Brome-Missisquoi, what's happening in Haute-Saint-François, what's happening in Val-des-Sault. All of these areas are going to be looked at and examined. So far, we've gotten a great deal of support for the program internally here. I'm not interested in hiring companies or organizations outside of the region. I want people that are going to do this analysis who are here, who live here, who understand the area here. So we have the Organisation Estrienne Communautaire de Développement, who will be doing the research for us. We have the University of Sherbrooke that's looking to be part of it. We have bishops that's looking to be part of this. And that is internal organizations and institutions that understand what's going on here, so we'll have a better reflection of what's going on, to the point where we're even talking about this is the audience for this report isn't necessarily us, the Anglophone or the English community. It's the Estrie in general. So we may not even do it in English. We might just do it in French, just because that's the audience. That's where the money is. That's where we have to present it on that term, not necessarily on a term that, okay, we want to understand ourselves. Well, we already know who we are.
The importance of that research can't be overstated.
It can't be.
It may not be obvious at first, but without those numbers, you can't base any request that you may have for any kind of cooperation. If we're an invisible quantity and no one can measure the impact things have on us, then there's no reason to find any way to solve our problems if we can't quantify it somehow. And the research does that, puts numbers to it. So Congratulations for having that approach. I think it's essential.
Yep. And yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with what you said. And it's not simply just for health, social services, or economic resource. It's actually for private institutions and organizations. So a perfect example of that is that the data, which will be made available publicly, can be used for institutions that are important, that measure the health and quality of our community, like newspapers, who are able to now have access to that data so they can understand where their pockets of support are, or where their pockets of sales possibilities are. Your own radio station may be able to use it, so they're able to kind of define advertising rates. Or it could be a company A, B, and C that needs to know, I need something in terms of English speakers to be able to sell product in the United States, though that's questionable these days. But those are the elements that this type of survey will be able to offer.
That's absolutely right, and it is crucial. Even for, as you mentioned, the radio station, it does apply to us concretely, because if we can demonstrate that we serve a population that has a certain amount of needs, then we can demonstrate to the government, there's a reason for us, for our existence as being the only locally produced English language broadcaster in the townships.
That's it.
So the decision makers also need to see this. So.
Yeah, and it has to be written for the decision makers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the key. Because if we write, I've always said this whenever I'm doing a presentation in the private sector and public sector, write for your audience, don't write for yourself. That's the key.
It is. Anything else you'd like to add, Dennis?
That's it.
That's it.
Thank you for the opportunity. I can talk to you more for hours on end, but I think we're good here.
In the same way when I start talking about radio.
Yeah.
I have to get someone to shut me up.
Well, I've learned to shut up now because I've had a lot of people come up to me and go, you sound great, but you just went on forever.
We've been talking with Dennis Katsaros of the Townshippers Association, Executive Director. Thank you very, very much for being here. And we'll certainly be knocking on your door in the future to keep us updated on what's going on.
Please do, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Measles in Canada. As of early 2025, Canada has reported 16 measles cases, with 8 new cases in the third week of January. Notably, a measles outbreak has been declared in southwestern Ontario, with 19 confirmed cases as of January 29th. Measles is highly contagious. It's a viral disease and spreads through respiratory droplets when an infected person coughs or sneezes. Symptoms include high fever, cough, runny nose, red eyes, and a characteristic red rash that typically starts on the face and spreads downward. Complications can be severe, especially in young children and individuals with weakened immune systems, potentially leading to pneumonia, encephalitis, or even death. Vaccination is the most effective way to prevent measles, and the measles, mumps, and rubella MMR vaccine is typically administered in 2 doses, the first at 12 to 15 months of age and the second between 4 and 6 years old. Individuals born after 1970 who have not received 2 doses should consult their healthcare provider to ensure they are adequately protected. Given the increase in measles actively worldwide, travelers should ensure they are fully vaccinated before international travel. Unvaccinated individuals are at a higher risk of contracting and spreading the virus. High vaccination coverage is crucial to maintain herd immunity, protecting those who cannot be vaccinated due to medical reasons. Public health officials emphasize the importance of keeping immunizations up to date to prevent outbreaks. If you or your child experience symptoms consistent with measles, such as fever, cough, and rash, consult your health care provider immediately. Early detection and isolation are key to preventing further transmission. Staying informed and proactive in vaccination efforts are essential steps in safeguarding public health against measles. I'd like to thank my guest in the second part of today's show, Executive Director of Townshippers Association, Dennis Katsaros, and thanks to David Teasdale for doing the interview. We will close with another new song. It's by Marshmello and Jonas Brothers, and the song is called Slow Motion. Thanks for listening, everybody. And if anyone has an idea for an interview, or if you just want to send me a comment, please email me at cjmqnews@gmail.com. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Usually not the type to keep on waiting. Usually like to love and leave them fast. Something that you're doing got me thinking. I'ma take my foot up off the gas. She said, hey, I like where this is going. So let's just take it slow, slow motion. Been waiting all day to get you in this moment. So let's just take it slow, slow motion. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Take it slow.